Hello and welcome to the fourth Manx Footy Pod of the 2021 season. We've another busy week of midweek action to digest, plus we hear from Guernsey FC manager Tony Vance about the challenges that await FC Alamann in the English non-league system. As always, I'm joined by a man who is rarely without a thermos flask, Dave Norton.
Hi everyone.
Good week, Dave. Happy birthday for yesterday.
Why, thank you very much. Thanks for putting out that lovely photo of me yesterday.
Yeah, it had 10 likes.
It did. That's the most I've ever had in my life. So, yeah.
Oh, Dave, I feel like I need to get a bit of
violin in the game. Yeah.
Good. Did you have a nice birthday evening tea?
I did. Well, I was obviously in the office all day yesterday. So
of course, yeah. Where else would you rather be?
Exactly. Nowhere else at all. Yeah, nice family do last night, just a family meal and stuff, so nothing too exciting, nothing to write home about.
Did you get any nice, exciting birthday presents?
What did I get?
It's bad if you've got to think about it, Dave.
Yeah, I got the...
Any socks?
No, I tell you, I did get, this is really sad, I got a high-vis top for when I'm out cycling.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to be knocked down.
Well, exactly, yeah. And I got the programme from, the Champions programme from Liverpool versus Chelsea on the last day of the season.
Oh, nice.
Which is pretty good. Apparently there is some other football-related merch that's coming my way, but it hasn't quite arrived on Ireland yet.
That old chestnut, yeah. Did you get your nice...
The canvas, yeah. Yes. It came a couple of weeks ago. It looks great. Yeah. It's a lot bigger than I thought it was going to be.
So, those of you who don't know, Dave is a massive Liverpool fan, and you got the picture when they picked up the Premier League trophy. Wasn't
yes, it was that shot which had the flames going over the top of them, the confetti raining down, some random Asian guy in the middle of the photo that no one seems to know who he is. So he seemed to have photobombed all the Liverpool celebrations.
Do you remember a guy called Carl Power? Who did it with Manchester United?
Yes, he got the kit on it.
Yeah, and the very end, and then there's like, there's a moment's recollection in Roy Keane's face where he looks around and realizes he doesn't know who that guy is, and he's ready to fill him in. But obviously, I think it was a Champions League game,
I think
actually.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah.
Or whatever it's called at that point. So he's some sort of imposter, which is even more bizarre in COVID-19 time.
It is. I mean, I'm sure he must have some job at the club or something, but he's not just like Carl Power on the edge of the team. Mm. He's right firmly entrenched in the middle of it. He's kneeling next to Mane and Firmino, I think it is. So I have no idea who he is. Like, you know, but either way, you know, the photo's absolutely brilliant. So
I'm a little bit disappointed you haven't got one of those pictures we talked about to celebrate your birthday yesterday. We used some of the pictures from the Traff special. We went off to see Rory and Harry in the Traff pool room, the infamous podcast on tour. In 2017, that was.
It's
gone in a blink of an eye, hasn't it?
It has. Well, it shows you how much fun we have on the podcast.
It does. Yeah. Never stops. Right, first of all, time to a feature that's sweeping the nation. It's time for Sam Reads the Midweek Results.
The Canada Life Premier League. Ramsey St. George's was postponed. Douglas Athletic Rushen United was postponed. Peel beat St. John's 2-1. Douglas Royal lost to Moran 3-2, St Mary's Laxey 2-0 draw, Air United Corinthians was also postponed. Canada Life Combination 1, all games were postponed besides Corinthians who beat Air United 5-0. JCK Division 2, Douglaston District beat Jims 3-1, Foxdale and Braddon was postponed, Governors Athletic lost 6-3 to Colby, Michael United beat Poros United 4-2, Ramsey Centre Old Boys beat Onken 7-1 and Union Mills beat Castletown 8-0. JCK Combination 2, Braddon beat Foxdale 4-2, Castletown lost to Union Mills 11-0, Colby lost to Governors Athletic 4-3, Jims and Douglaston District drew 2-2 and Onken Rycob was postponed.
I feel he sort of deviated from the Tim Dudgeon path today. He sort of added his own little spin on each result. Now, I know there was a lot of postponements, so he's obviously trying to keep the listener happy, but he didn't quite have the gravitas that he had of last week, I don't think.
No, I think he's already getting fed up of it, isn't he?
Yeah, well, we think, don't we, there might be another round of midweek fixtures next week.
Yes, I think there are. But what I will say about Sam is I think... He's beating himself up because he had a pretty bad miss last night for Govs. You know, and I think he got a bit of abuse on social media, and I just think he's a little bit disheartened by it. You know, he's been getting a lot of heat, so, you know, I feel sorry.
I did see
that,
yeah. But the Govs Combi did still win, didn't they?
They did, yes.
It didn't prove decisive in the match, but yeah, it could have opened his account. He had a 30-minute cameo for the Combi last night. Apparently, he was heard someone shouted at him. He was quite quick for a big lad. So.
Yeah.
I've never actually seen that in evidence, have you?
No, I haven't.
Oh, yes, to be fair.
Football.
No, well, I was going to sort of say yesterday when you got the birthday pasty and he was pretty quick to the kitchen.
He was. I mean, you know, it's
he ghosted past the marker on the door and was in.
That was it, straight away. Goalkeeper had no chance.
He had no chance. Or she. Right, Dave, let's obviously we talked about the midweek action. Let's look back at Tuesday's results in the Canlife Premier League. Now, it was a torrid. I look out the window now and it's absolutely lashing it down. And it was like this on Tuesday night. We were quite amazed, actually. Three went ahead in the end, didn't they, in the top flight?
Yeah, we did. But, you know, it was some close games in all three.
Yes, very close. After some of the hammerings we've seen in the opening 2 weeks of the season, there was only a fag paper between these teams on Saturday. On Tuesday. Starting at Ballofletcher, Douglas Royal versus Moran. If we were had our pundit hats on, which we probably should always do, this one would be called a bit of an early six-pointer.
Yeah, definitely. And in the end, it was Moran that got the 3 points, and a big, big win for them. That's their first of the season, isn't it? And, you know, I think it could well go a long way to deciding who finishes.
Already?
Possibly, because it's that momentum.
But we're not even out of August yet, Dave. Momentum.
Momentum, is that buzzword?
I forgot to put it on the bingo card, didn't I?
Oh, come on, man. But, yeah, no, obviously Royal will be disappointed to lose that one, but big, big result from Moran. So,
It was Harry Barton. He seems to be continue his progress. He got a brace for Moran, and it was two goals for Sam Baines as well.
Yeah, good player, isn't he?
For Royal.
Yeah, he really is started the season well, hasn't he? So, again, Moran will just be looking to build on this now. It won't be long before they're back on their home pitch soon once the cricket season finishes in the next few weeks. So, that'll be another plus for them.
Another close game in the Western Derby at Douglas Road, which saw Peel beat St John's 2-1. Peel went 2 up, I believe.
Yeah, Danny Lane got a brace.
Yeah, either side of the half-time break. Either side. One was 11 minutes, one was 48. But then Andrew Chadwick, Chaddy, the stalwart of St John's, he bagged one with about 15 minutes to go, and by all accounts set up a bit of a nervy final 15 for the Western.
Eric Clegg was down covering this match for us, and it sounded like the Peel defence had to stand firm in that last 15 minutes, but they did the job, and it was a deserved 3 points for the Westerners in the end. And you know, we've talked a bit about Peel this season. It's very much a mixed squad. So it's good for those youngsters in the squad. They've got those 3 points on the board. The bad news was that Lee Gale came on as a substitute in the second half, and he only lasted about 13 minutes. I think it's a reoccurrence of a shoulder injury, so that's a big blow for them.
Yeah.
But either way, a good result for the home side.
As I said in my pre-season, I think it could be an exciting season for Peel. If they could bring all these youngsters through, which have been much heralded. The other game on Saturday night, Tuesday to go ahead. So St Mary's draw 2-2 with Laxey at the Bowl. Of course, that was always going to go on. Is the punditry police?
Oh dear.
They heard us use the word momentum. St Mary's versus Laxey, 2-2 at the Bowl. Always going to go ahead on that 3G pitch. St Mary's were 2-2 in that game, and a late rally from Laxey, including a debut first team goal for Ryan Gartland, who only signed from Old Boys in the last week of the transfer window.
Big plus that for Laxey. At the moment, they just don't know when they beat them, do they? St Mary's will obviously be disappointed dropping those 2 points from a winning position, but credit to Laxey with that one. By all accounts, I mean, Hattie was down covering this one as well, and Laxey could have snatched it in the very last second of the game.
Kirill coming up with an important save, I believe.
Yeah, he denied Dave Reynolds in injury time. What a turnaround that would have been if they'd scored. But yeah, that's a good result for them. I mean, you know, you look at Laxey's fixtures. I mean, they're top of the table. Yeah. Yes, they've played more games than their rivals, but 3 wins from 4 games and a draw. I mean, you know, if at the start of the season, you'd offered them 4 points from St Mary's and Peel, they'd have snapped your hand off. So, you know, that's fantastic for them. So, St Mary's, a point on the board after losing to Corinthians, so it's a step in the right direction.
Right, the midweek action continued on Wednesday evening with the JCK Division 2. There was only one game off on Wednesday, and that was obviously had to be, didn't it? Billy Moat Park. That was postponed early doors because of the incessant rain we've had this week. But the rest of them went ahead unscathed. Dave, the Mills.
Yeah, they just
keep going, don't they? Another 8 goals to add to their already bountiful return from the first few games of the season.
Yeah, I don't know. I could be wrong. They've probably got about 50 goals already this season and four games. But yeah, no, they're absolutely flying. Ryan Kelly got himself a hat-trick in this one. I think it was...
Lukey Booth got a couple more.
Lukey Booth and Jordan Crawley got a hat-trick as well. So talent in that squad. It's ridiculous, isn't it? So yeah, they stay top at the moment. They're chased by Yuffie. They were also big winners, weren't they?
Yeah, they beat Onken 7-1. But just before we move on from Milzo, they beat, obviously, Kazakhstan with the team. They beat 8-0. I saw some comments on social media. Apparently, Kazakhstan played quite well in that game.
Yes, they did, yeah.
And we'll come on to, I'm sure you're going to mention it in Combi Corner, that they had their first outing in a long time for a Combi. Well, technically, they only played a Combi last year, but first time they've had two teams out on the same match day
yeah,
for a long time. Congratulations to them.
Yeah, well done.
Yuffie, obviously, as you said, beat Onken 7-1. Good result, that, because Onken had shown a bit of early season form, hadn't they?
They have, yeah. Onken are a good side, but Yuffie, again, they've shown exactly why they're going to be Mills' nearest challengers at the top. You know, a glut of goals, including one for the one and only Nick Hurt.
Yes, free kick, I believe.
Yeah, got himself his first goal for the Northerners. So, yeah, that's it's always a bit of gloss on the scoreline when Nick Hurt gets a goal, isn't it? Yeah. But, you know, another good win for Yuffie there. And it really is, I mean, OK, it's very early doors, but it does point to a two-horse race at the top of the table.
Colby, though, are still hanging on. Now, Saturday, they were a couple of goals up against Mills, and it looked like we could be in for a bit of a, I'm going to say, shock.
Yeah,
the way it is. I'm sure the people down in the Colby region would disagree with that. But yeah, and then I think Mills came back like absolute stallions in the second half, didn't they?
Yeah, they woke up a bit in the second half, didn't they? And ended up getting the 3 points.
But Colby have been hit with a few injuries. I think five first-team regulars missing at the moment.
Yeah, Charlie Omar's up against it at the moment in terms of team selection.
They beat Inform Govs 6-3 last on Wednesday night, which is a great result. Luke Roberts, the man, was he a hat trick?
Yeah, he bagged a hat trick. So
we talked about the missing Carl Hickey potentially because he went injured against last midweek against Yuffie, wasn't he? I think.
Yeah.
But he's chipped in with a few goals now over the last season or so, hasn't he?
He certainly has, yeah. And Steve Colston also bagged a couple as well. So it shows you that they've got a strength and depth in that department. So good side there. They will be one to watch, Colby. And that was a potentially big win for them. You know, Govs obviously still had a good start to the season, but you know, and they will be disappointed to lose that game. Still, well done to Colby.
And a derby now, that game, of course, with Govs now resident on the second pitch at Colby. The Dickie Gale derby. So yeah, Colby winning that one 6-3. Elsewhere, Douglasson District, another team making a good start to the season. They beat Jim's 3-1. I thought that I potentially would have been on the Dave Norton moral offence for that one. I thought that had a good draw written all over it. But D&D, again, we mentioned him last week. Daniel Clegg Stewart comes up with the goods, doesn't he?
He does. And Mark Quirk. Quirk got a couple. One of them was a penalty, and Daniel got the other goal. You know, I think there's definitely a feel good factor around the Nobles Park Club at the moment. The Combi are doing well as well. So, you know, well done to them. I think they're up in the lofty heights of third, aren't they, D&D? Yeah. So, you know.
I saw Richard Sparks, who's D&D assistant manager, tweeted last night to say we're in nosebleed territory.
you can't disagree, really, can you?
You just got to keep going, haven't they? D&D, I think I also saw a tweet from them this week on the official Douglasson District account, as opposed to the unofficial one. They are sort of ground sharing their home matches, aren't they? They're going to be playing games at Nobles Park and Springfield Road this year.
Yes, which is good. I know obviously they have played a few games down at Grove Road over the years. I had a quick look at the fixture list, amended fixture list yesterday, because Hattie was on the phone. He wanted to know when he was down to Grove Road for his annual trip out.
Yeah.
Well, I think the first team, D&D first team, have got something like 5 games down at Grove Road over the next few months.
You keep saying Grove Road, Dave. You know, we'll have the council on
it. It is Grove Road, though, because it's not the Springfield Road.
Oh,
pitch.
Is it?
It's
the one across between?
I assume it is, because D&D have played down there before.
Oh, right, okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, because Dafka and Pulley will still be playing, of course.
So I assume it's Grove Road anyway. And I think
my mistake. Well corrected, Dave, you will know. So
I wouldn't, but yeah. So
it's the pitch between the NSC and where Pulley and Dafka play.
I believe it is, anyway. So.
Well, we know that there will be a man correcting us moments after this podcast is released if we're wrong.
Exactly. He probably already knew we were going to say this.
So they're going to split their fixtures between the two venues, though.
Yeah, which is good. I don't know how the Nobles Park pitch is holding up at the moment, but you'd think it'd be pretty good. But yeah, so D&D, Andrew Doss is enjoying a good start to life in the first team hot seat there. It's shaping up to be a decent season for them.
The other game on Wednesday evening saw Michael pick up their first 3 points of the season. They beat Paul Rose United 4-2 at Bolera Road. Again, Steve Quayle bagging the goals for them. I think he scored a couple, didn't he?
Yes, he got two. Nuno Marquez got another, and for the life of me, I'm sorry, I can't think who got the other one now. Mikey Hammond, I think it was, yeah. So good result for the Aces there. Probably, it was a bit more of a competitive game for them.
Yes, after a couple of hardings, to get on the score sheet, we talked about that last week, didn't we? That's that objective ticks now. Let's get a point or maybe three, isn't it?
Exactly. So, maybe some positivity there for Pulley, but a good result for Michael.
Yes, very good result for Michael. Right, moving on now. Now, we're going to talk about the FC Alamann versus Guernsey 2, this time it's personable. In a minute, but before that, when their boys were over here the week before, last one?
It was, nearly 2 weeks ago now, yeah.
You caught up and got an exclusive interview, I'm going to call it, Dave. Was there no one else there?
Well, Johnny Myers, Dave Cherry was still about 10 yards away from me, but
with Guernsey FC manager Tony Vance. Now, obviously, they've been ploughing the non-league furrow for nine years now, 2011 they started. So I'm guessing you spoke to him about how they've got on, what the FC Alamann can expect in the...
It was a good interview with Tony. He's given quite a bit of insight into it all, so have a listen. It's quite poignant that you guys have been invited over for this match as well, because as Paul Jones, the director of FC Alamann, will tell you, I mean, you guys were the inspiration behind FC Alamann joining, because you guys have been doing it now for 9 years, haven't you? So it must be nice being asked over.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, obviously, and I think Paul is learning that you're always going to get doubters, you're always going to get people that don't like sort of change. When this is like quite a significant difference to sort of island life and island football, but it most definitely is the way forward and sort of has that path for opportunity for your islanders to go on and try and be better and play against a tougher opposition week in, week out, rather than that insular playing the same people all the time. We had the same problems back in, you know, 9 years ago and still got a few, but it's nice to see that sort of Jersey and now you guys are sort of, you know, when you're given the words that we're an inspiration and you know we've had a huge impact on you guys doing it as well, that's really nice to see, and it's sort of confirms that what we felt was the right thing for us to do as well, and it's another tick in the box for a great project, and I'm sure you can have some fun on the way.
Absolutely, and you mentioned it's been 9 years now and you guys are playing two levels up now, aren't you? What's been the standout moments of the whole journey for you guys?
Well, it's funny actually, there's a photo doing the rounds of me in the first game, like your first game 9 years ago, when I looked very, very young, so the standout is probably I've aged dramatically, so it probably says there's a lot of stress, a lot of challenges, but we've had some absolute fun moments, you know, 90 minutes from Wembley in the FA Vars, which now you look back and you think that was a real missed opportunity, and we had some amazing experiences, amazing games, big crowds, what it's really done is given an aspiration for the local islanders to try and be the best they can be and play at the highest level. And we had a couple of promotions in the early stages. We avoided relegation, which was quite good fun actually. It's something that we're just not used to. So that was good. Different style of football, different challenges that we were faced. So we've learned an awful lot. And now we're sort of back to mid-table. You know, it would be nice if we could get one more level up, because that would be a really significant achievement, I think, playing Step 3 football, because that's a massive, massive level now, the way it is. But, I'm sure you guys will do very, very well, and you'll be in and around this level very, very soon.
What would you say are the biggest challenges you faced? I mean, the obviously, travelling is a major issue, and funding and things like that, but what would you say the biggest challenges are?
Yeah, I was chatting to Paul earlier, and it's remarkable, really, the sort of frustration, if you like, and it's a kind of a nice challenging frustration, but I think in the 9 years that we've been involved, I think I've only had, I'd say once or twice, where I've had a full squad to pick from, which is incredible when you consider the number of games, probably nearly 350 odd games, and only twice have I had a full squad through various reasons. So when you're travelling away, week in, week out, you haven't got people because they've got work, family problems, injuries, etc, etc, and then the sort of training element, you know, you haven't ever got, you know, the full group together, because everyone's trying to manage clubs, they're managing their families, they're managing their work situation, so you know you can never prep 100%, So that's the sort of the sort of challenge and frustration that I would love to change, to be honest. But that would only ever change if we sort of could turn professional, semi-professional, whatever. But you know, an amateur setup where funding is absolutely vital. You know, you're talking nigh on £250,000 a year to run the football club, and without the sponsors, the crowd, those sort of things, we wouldn't be here. So it's always going to be the money, You know, the amazing thing and the positive thing for Isle of Man is that you've got where you are so far, so you're ready to go. The momentum will build, you know, nearly 2,500 there today, so everyone will start realising what it's going to do, and hopefully you'll get support, you know, will come, you know, a little bit easier. And then, you know, as I said, we've been going 9 years, so we've managed to do it so far, which is probably the most significant achievement.
Wonderful stuff, Dave. Very proud man after listening to that.
Note the sarcasm, everyone.
It's genuine, very genuine. And you actually did that on video, so I'm guessing we'll try and get a few, maybe put the video up on our social media.
I have to say my video editing skills are non-existent at this point. But
just flash it up. We don't edit.
Yeah, true.
Edits for wimps.
That's it.
Just bang it straight up in all its glory, so to speak. But we talked about it before. The FC Isle of Man are going to the Channel Island in the September 12th. I think, actually, funnily enough, when we spoke to Paul Jones, I spoke to him after the match a couple of weeks ago. He said he didn't know it was going to be a possibility because he didn't know the Air Bridge was going to be open. They've obviously worked something out with whatever the airline's called. So they're going over on September the 12th. Actually, I think they're going for a couple of days, aren't they? I don't think the game is on the Saturday night 6:30 kickoff. So very similar to when.
It's down a foot slide, isn't it? Yeah.
And I think I see you doing a bit in the paper today. You said there are packages available if you want to go and follow the lads.
Yeah. I'm sure there are a few companies out there, but there's one, Wayfair of Guernsey. They're offering a free night package, which sounds reasonable, but who knows? But so obviously it'll be a good trip. Hopefully it goes ahead, and if it does, it's a nice warm up game.
Yes.
So. You're still scheduled at this point, aren't they, to play the Vars game against AFC?
Yeah, I don't think we've touched on this in the podcast before. As part of their introduction to the English non-league system, they qualified to play in the FA Vars, which is the little cousin of the FA Cup. They are playing AFC Liverpool.
Of course.
I'll let you give the fact about them in a minute. They're scheduled to play them on September the 19th at the Bowl. Now, obviously, there's a big, massive asterisks behind this try, because obviously it's all to do with border restrictions. Can Liverpool get here? If so, do they have to isolate for 2 weeks and all the sort of stuff around that? I'm assured by the club, FC Isle of Man, they're looking into every possibility. But I saw this morning that there's been a spike in Liverpool. So it's just one of those. It might not happen, but it's a shame.
Yeah, it is. It's a massive shame if it doesn't go ahead. But look, you know, these are extenuating circumstances, aren't they? You can't think too far ahead at the moment. But hopefully that game will get played at some point, at least. And when it does, an exciting occasion for everyone involved in the Ravens.
Before you give the Liverpool fact.
What is this fact?
You told me what AFC Liverpool means. The other week, you read it. You're looking at me blankly now, Dave.
I always look blankly.
But you know what I said? Oh, the lads have joined AFC Liverpool. And you went, oh, AFC Liverpool? You know what the AFC stands for? And I went, Amateur Football Club? And you went, no, it means...
I can't remember now.
Actual Football Club.
Actual Football Club, that's the one, yes.
Is it Actual Football Club?
Something like that, it's really...
Oh, Dave, this is... We're descending into farce as always.
Well, yeah.
While Dave hastily looks on his phone to find out what AFC stands for, and the fact he's already forgotten that was quite interesting. It's not the first time.
Affordable
Football Club.
Affordable Football Club Liverpool, nicknamed the Little Reds.
And when was it founded?
2008.
Was that in protest against the Gillettes?
Gillette and Hicks. Yeah, it was, as far as I know. And it was all to do with the rising prices for fans, like ticket prices and stuff. Very similar to what FC United did for Manchester United. So, I think it was a protest club. But I believe that they got on quite well with Liverpool at the moment. They actually play at Rossett Park in Crosby, not the Manx Crosby, which is a ground share with Marine FC, who Niall Cummings plays for. So we should be still plays for them. Yeah. But no word with that.
No, I think he's still there. The Vars, obviously, it's not the first time a Manx side has played in the Vars.
Of course, you delved into the history books.
I spoke to Eric and used the internet to find out that Douglas High School boys had been in the Vars a couple of times in the early 90s. I got the impression they hadn't got beyond... They got through the first qualifying round and then played... Was it like a three or four replays against a team from... I think it was St Dominic's from Blackpool.
Right, yeah.
Or Liverpool. I can't remember. It was Merseyside somewhere. And they lost on the fourth replay or something stupid.
That's just tough luck, isn't it? But
it'd be great if we could get an FA of ours. Obviously, it's a massive competition for non-league football. So, but it does look like RR might be forced by COVID restrictions, which, you know, understandably, and I think the club have said in statements, the community comes first in this instance. So
definitely.
We'll have to see. Right, moving ahead quickly to Saturday's fixtures in the Canada Life Premier League. We've got a full house of six games to look forward to, hopefully. Dave obviously is lashing it down, and I don't want to take anything away from Dave Reed's the weather, whether you hint at any postponements, but hopefully it'll dry up before then. In what is the Super Manx weekend, of course. I'm going to start down at Port Erin, where not only will the Bay Festival be taking place, but Rush United will host old firm rivals Peel in what is always a cracking day at Croyt Lowy.
Certainly is, yeah. I mean, you know, normally you'd fancy Peel to get something from these games. At the moment, well, they will certainly go into it as underdogs. Rushing have started the season like a house on fire. But, you know, derby games, you know, the cliche is that form goes out the window and all that. So who knows with this one, but with the firepower that Rushen have got, you know, you'd certainly expect them to continue their winning start to the season in this one.
Yeah, you're right. I think it may be a Rushen home win, especially in front of the baying wall of the Croyt Lowy. But Peel give it a good go, and it'll be a good experience for their youngsters. They won't have played in quite an experience like an old firm game away at Croyt Lowy yet, so it'll certainly add to their mettle. And of course, there's still the you know, Matty Woods and the likes are still, you know, Tom Wood. There are still some class acts in that Peel squad that they could get a shock result out.
They might well do. You just don't know, do you? Yeah. I mean, depends how many of the Russian lads are out on their bank holiday Friday night. You know.
Elsewhere, St John's take on Douglas Royal in another sort of game that the two teams towards the bottom of the table. John has yet to break their duck this season, Dave. They'll be looking to pinpoint points in this one. Royal, again, I think maybe slight favourites going into this.
Possibly. I mean, St John's obviously got a point against Douglas Athletic last week, didn't they?
Yes.
2-2, I believe it was. So, you know, yeah, as you say, they'll be looking for their first win. But, I actually think this one will be a draw as well. I'm going to sit on my fence, my trusty little fence. Yeah. I think both teams will be well up for this. Dougie Royal, he will definitely want to bounce back after that midweek defeat. But St John's, you know, under Callum Taggart, they've got a very good, hard-working side there. They had a player in Team of the Week this week as well, of course. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think it'll be close. I'm going to call a draw on this one.
Douglas High School Old Boys versus Ramsey at Blackberry Lane looks another tight encounter. Old Boys taking a couple of big defeats early doors, but they have played some of the, what would you call the title contenders probably this season.
Yeah.
Ramsey have started solid enough.
They have, yeah. This is the game I'm hoping to go to on Saturday. It should be good, so I haven't been to Blackberry Lane for a little while. I think, as you say, Old Boys, tough start to the season. They lost 4-0 to Geordies last week in what was Johnny Myers' first game in charge there. So can't really look too much into that defeat. At home, obviously they'll want to give the Blackberry Lane faithful something to cheer about, and I think they'll probably start as favourites in this one, I reckon. But Ramsey, you'll be no mugs.
No, I think this is another draw written all over it, to be honest. A score draw, of course, not a nil-nil. Although, as you pointed out the other week, Old Boys have had the most nil-nil draws in Canada Life Premier League history. Now, that's not saying much, really, because since 2007, if my memory is correct, I think we've only had 13, 14?
Yeah, about that, and I think they've had two.
St John's had a couple as well, haven't they?
St John's had two. I think Old Boys have had three, maybe four, I think. I can't remember. Yeah. So, yeah.
I wouldn't be banking on a nil-nil in this one.
No.
Laxey versus Ayr United in a weird sort of derby. Could we call that a derby match?
Yeah, in a way.
A good game, probably going to go ahead of Glen Road on Saturday. Laxey will be buzzing after making a good start to the season. They'll be trying to they should go into this one as favourites, but Air United, as we keep saying, if they can get all their team out on the day, have got a really decent side in there.
Well, yeah, definitely. And quite a few of those have played for Laxey before, so with the added spice to it. But, you know, Laxey, at the moment, they're flying. Matty Wilkinson's in fine form, Max Murley, Dave Reynolds. You name the team, you know, they're doing really well at the moment. So I think Aaron Bradley's caught the eye as well for them. So, you know, I think that feel-good factor will carry them through. Yeah, they should be, I wouldn't say comfortable winners, but it should be, yeah, it should be victory for the Miners.
Moran versus St Mary's, I'm going to call this is a classic rank scoreline of 3-5 or 2-5. I think St Mary's will win this, but there'll be goals galore. Steve Priestnell scored again in midweek. He's hit the ground running on his return to the club. I was listening back to last week's podcast, and we were saying, oh, it's Stido's return to the Premier League. Obviously, he was in the Premier League last year with Poros, but return to St Mary's, isn't it? And you know, and probably without the pressure of management, he seems to be flourishing again, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. Well, I was at the Corinthians St Mary's game, and he took his goal really well. It was a poacher's effort at the back post. His movement is so good, you know. It's those years of experience going up against all sorts of defenders. He'll always get you goals in this one. I think he's going to get a few in this one. Matty Kent-Lloyd seems to be doing okay for St Mary's as well at the moment. Moran will obviously want to make life difficult for the Saints, but I think the still the reigning champions, they should be too strong in this one.
Matty Kent-Lloyd, probably a nice foil for Steve Owen as well. They're probably different styles. You know, Matty tends to hold the ball up, big, strong lad, you know, maybe. And then Steedo's always looking for those pockets of space, isn't he?
Yeah, it was interesting to see. Matty Kent-Lloyd went up against, Ryan Burns and people, and Stewie Smith and Chris Cannell for Corinthians. And obviously, very physical battle in the air and things like that. And, you know, and it was a proper tussle. But then the second half, like, Matty just, when he got the ball and he just ran at the defence, he had quite a bit of joy. Yeah. He's got that surprising turn of speed, and he's obviously very strong, so he'll cause problems.
What you're saying is the complete striker?
I'm not saying he's a complete striker. I'm saying he can cause a lot of problems.
He's got more than one quiver to his bow, is that what you're saying?
That's what you're saying, yeah.
St George's versus Douglas Athletic. Now, Douglas Athletic will be on my back straight away, but to me this looks like a St George's win.
Yes.
Can you see Dafka getting in there?
Well, you know, this fixture last season, Dafka won 1-0. So,
true story.
So, you know, you can't rule them out. You know, Dafka got that point last week against St John's. They'll be disappointed not to have won it, but still, it's another point on the board. But yeah, to be honest, St George's, yeah, I think they'll get the points in this one.
JCK Division 2, 6 games, of course, in JCK Division 2 on Saturday. We'll kick off with the currently leaders, Union Mills. They travel to Onchan. Onchan side that will be smarting from a trip to Ramsey and a bit of a heavy defeat in the midweek.
Yeah, they lost 7-1. That will definitely sting. So yeah, they'll be fired up for this one. But to be honest, Mills again, you know, the amount of firepower they've got, every team is going to fear playing them this season. So I think it'll be probably a fairly comfortable win for the Millers.
Jims versus Michael United. I've put this in second in our look around the division because I think this will be a close match. I think Michael obviously got their first win of the season. Jims are probably not a million miles away from Michael. They're going to be in that sort of mid-table lower end scramble for points, aren't they?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think this is definitely going to be a close one. Could go all the way. I think Jims will just edge it, but it is going to be close, this one, and it could easily go either way. But I think home advantage should just see them through.
Colby versus Douglaston District, you know, two of the four teams in the division. To me, it looks like it should be a home win, but Douglaston District have shown a bit of resolve this season. They've also haven't conceded that many.
No, that's it. They've really showed up at the back. And Colby games this season have tended to be quite high scoring. So I think, yeah, this should be quite an entertaining one. It's a tough one to call. I don't ever want to write off D&D.
Yeah.
Not least because I'm scared of Dave Matheson. But yeah, no, honestly, I think it'll be a good game. But Colby, I think, will just get the points in this one.
Castellan versus Governors Athletic, easy for me to say. They go to head-to-head at the stadium. Castellan, now, they've got a great win in Maloo, but you can sort of contrast that with they've taken a couple of hammerings already this season.
Yeah.
Govs, equally, have had some good wins, but lost in the week to Colby, didn't they, by 6-3. Which way do you point this one? I would say maybe just Govs on current form, but Town, you know, they can reduce the performances against Maloo, they should start as favourites.
Yeah, agreed. It is such a tough one to call. Yeah, I think on form, Govers will be favourites. Castletown have just announced Jake Sansbury signed back up with them in midweek.
Howard Quayle's best mate.
That's it. He's a big player for them, tons of experience. So it'll be interesting to see what he brings to the team. I think, you know, that'll boost them, but you know, I'm going to tip Govs to sneak this one. It's going to be close, though.
Well, it's going to be Tony Sewell's going to be in a right quandary, isn't he? Because he works in Castletown, doesn't he?
He does.
Yeah. So he's on his own patch, and if he gets the Govs win, he won't be able to go to work for
a week.
That's
it. Yeah. Blacklisted.
Maloo versus Youthy takes place at Clack Lane, just down the road in Ballasalla. Youthy should start this one as favourites. Maloo haven't quite got going yet, have they?
They haven't, but we mentioned it last week. The signing of Jamie Skillen is a big plus for them. And there's going to be goals. I think this one's got goals written all over it, so watch it be 0-0 now. But I think, as you said, Youthy will start as favourites, and they should get the results. I mean, the likes of Johnny Lund, Dan Hutchin, and Nick Hurt and all that, they've got a very strong team. But Maloo on their day can cause problems, so it'll be tight, but Youthy
for the win, make the long trip worthwhile.
Yeah.
Bull Rose United versus Foxdale rounds out the action in JCK Division 2 on Saturday. Foxdale should start this as firm favourites, but Pulley only lost 4-2 in the week. First goals, as we've said, may have turned a slight corner here, but I still think Foxdale are going to win.
I think so too, I agree. But, you know, the green shoots of promise are there for Pulley. They'll just want to build on that now. But Foxdale, you know, you've got the likes of Jay Chatwood. I mean, how many times have we mentioned him over the years? Yeah. He's just a classic finisher, isn't he? I think, you know, he'll get the goals and... Yeah, I just think the visitors will be too strong.
Peter Crouch of Manx Football. I know Sean Doyle often gets labelled that, but I think Joe Chatwood is the should be known as the Peter Crouch of Manx
Football. Well, question for you then. Who's got the better feet for a big man?
Both have got good feet. Yeah. Both have got food, you know.
How's life sitting on that fence for you?
Well, I wanted to say, I don't think Sean, despite his size, and it's not a criticism, I don't think he's as strong in the air as Jay.
I think he's probably more of a marked man in the Premier League, though, isn't he? So,
yeah, he's got a hell of a leap on him. You're right, actually. There is probably the central defenders of the top flight have maybe worked out what they need to do against Sean. But yeah, I'd say Jay's more of a corruption.
Oh, this is...
And maybe Sean's more like a Kenwyn Jones figure.
Kenwyn Jones, what a reference that is. See, you know your football, don't you?
I said, get on the old YouTube, search Kenwyn Jones, and you'd be like, that's Sean Doyle in his pomp there.
Wondering what you were going to say.
Right, time for David to win.
I know it doesn't look too good out there at the moment. The rain and drizzle will gradually clear tomorrow, though, into isolated showers. And so hopefully some brightness will break through. And Saturday is actually going to be fine and dry with lengthy sunny spells. So the actual... the afternoon for Saturday will be good, but it's just a question of what damage has been done to the pitches by then. But hopefully we'll be okay with most of the games.
Oh, great. That's great. You're predicting how many postponements?
A couple. You know I don't know anything about football. So.
Or weather.
Or weather, yeah. So this is why you asked me to read the weather, you bugger.
Yeah. It's still our second most popular feature. Comedy Corner?
Well, speaking of the weather, only one game went ahead in Combi 1 on Tuesday evening. The weather caused havoc of the midweek fixture list. The match in question saw Corinthians record a 5-0 victory over Ayr United at Bala Fletcher. What do you want to say?
Go on, you're
signalling to me that you want to interrupt.
You finish and I will then come in with a stat that will blow your socks off.
Okay, fair enough. So Callum Campbell scored a hat-trick and he was joined on the score sheet by Josh Ridings and Phil Kelly.
What I want to talk about, two things. Draw up a chair. that Corinthians are one of the new, and I think Union Mills have upped their graphic game on social media.
Oh, they have, haven't they? Yeah.
And so they've got goal updates. They've got it is all sorts of stuff. It looks very teams, fixtures, everything's on there.
We can't compete with it, can we?
GIF form, which you can't beat, really.
They are the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, the gift that keeps on giving. So Callum scored the hat-trick on
Tuesday.
Yeah, well remembered. and I thought, did you see the gif they used to to...
Was this a bright flashing goal one?
Or yeah,
was
no, they had a personalised gift.
Oh, I'm not sure I saw this one.
So, you know McLovin from Superbad?
Oh, yes, of course.
They use that because they're trying to suggest there's some sort of resemblance.
Yeah.
I must admit, I was shocked that Callum got a hat-trick because he was played fullback every time I've seen him in the first team. It's like Carl Dobbin the other week. Carl Dobbin played in centre defence right back for Mia Mills for years. Scored six for Governors last night.
Wasted at fullback, these players, aren't they?
Terence Trent D'Arby at Liverpool's sorted this out. It's like everyone's like...
Terence Trent D'Arby.
Everyone's now these complete fullbacks that can do everything, you see.
That's it.
The other point I was going to make, which I've temporarily forgotten, was about... Oh, the stat. You like this, Dave. Excuse me.
You're so excited. You're choking, mate. Makes
you excited. So I went on full time the other night.
For the first time in a while. Yeah.
Occasionally browse it. Other websites are available. And I went through and I worked out that I think Corinthians' first team, including the expunged season, haven't lost a league game since they lost to St Mary. Sorry, did I say first team combination?
Probably,
sorry.
Yeah.
Since December 2018.
Wow. That is...
And they lost to St Mary's.
That is bloody impressive, isn't it?
5-3 or something like that. Because they won all 15 of their league games last season.
Yeah.
In the abridged campaign. They have won all their games so far this season. So then we have to go back. And they won the previous season. They'd won all their games in the calendar year of 2019. Would that be right? Yeah, 2019. So that takes us back to 2018.
Wow.
And I think it was St Mary's. I think they might have lost in the Junior Cup.
Yeah.
But they in the league, their last defeat was in December 2018.
That is impressive going. And when I was up at Balfletcher for the first team game on Saturday, I was just, you know, write down the team sheets, and then someone shouted over, and it happened to be Stewie Smith.
Yeah.
And he was very quick to point out, I told you that team would have won the league last year. And he's right. I mean, they were absolutely unbeatable.
Yeah.
I know, obviously, that it was all expunged in the end, but what a team they've got there. They just score so many goals, don't they?
Great team. And unbeaten a long time. Yeah. Watch them lose on Saturday. Who have they got on Saturday? Just looking at the fixtures. They have a free week.
So they're not going to lose.
Not going to lose. That record will roll on again.
In Combi 2, four games went ahead on Wednesday evening. Much like the first team, Union Mills lead the way in the league. They defeated Castletown 11-0. However, as you say, this was the first time that Castletown had put out both teams in the same match day. So well done to them. Obviously not the result they wanted, but you know the main thing for them is actually getting a team out. In terms of the actual goals, Jack Murray helped himself to 5 for Corinthians, while Jackson Gatt also scored a hat-trick.
Great name, Jackson Gatt.
Yeah.
The Gatling gun.
We mentioned them, the mighty Govs. Governors Athletic, they're up to 3rd after they got the better of Colby by the odd goal in 7. Abdul Yavuz, he made a back-to-back.
Appo. He's back.
Yes, back-to-back hat-tricks for him.
Evergreen.
Legend. He got another treble. Kieran Lane also scored for Govs in that one. So well done to them. Braddon, they recorded their first win of the season with a 4-2 success at home to Foxdale. No details of scorers, I'm afraid. The other game saw Jims and D&D share 4 goals in Tramode. Alex Cade and Matthew McKeeman netted for Jims, while Robert Mellon bagged the brace for the visitors.
There you go. I think Mikey Mellon's only a recent signing for the...
Rob Mellon,
sorry.
Yeah, he's done well. He's already got quite a few goals this season. So
Mikey Mellon, I think he played for Blackpool. And
Mickey Mellon, you're thinking of.
Is he Tranmere?
I think he was, yeah.
Now is he manager of Dundee United?
I wouldn't know. You're the Scottish football expert. I don't know.
I think he might have moved into the club. We digress, as always.
Yeah, it's always, mate. That's what we do. So.
Right, that's about it for this week. As you said, we've got games at the weekend. There might be rearranged games in midweek. I think it all depends on the light, doesn't it, now?
Yes, it does. So
so buy a paper on Tuesday to find out.
Yes.
Good games.
We should also mention the under-18s and women's leagues are going to start within the next couple of weeks. So check out this next week's Examiner for the fixtures.
We'll have maybe a preview at some point?
Hopefully. I believe Simon Elson's managed to... get someone on board, and Lewis Carter have got people on board to do some reporting for us.
Yeah, so we'll look forward to reading them. I must thank you. You did listen to our plea last week to pass the pod.
Yes.
We've already mentioned him once in this podcast. I hope he doesn't have some sort of royalty thing about this. But Peter Crouch's podcast encourages you to pass his podcast to other to other people. We've jumped heinously on the back of that in the same way that he did on the back of the Trinidad and Tobago defenders in that game. Kenlyn Jones played in that game.
Exactly, he did.
You've
obviously mentioned Peter Crouch in this podcast with Sean Doyle as well, so you have to mention the Peter Crouch's podcast.
Yes, which is available on BBC Sounds, I believe.
It is.
But yes, so they are... encourage you to share the podcast. You've done that in your rows last week. We had our record figures last week.
There you go. Fantastic.
Yeah, seven listens, which is fantastic. Although I think a couple of them might be Sam's mum, because Sam reads the midweek results.
I know. Yeah.
So, but please do.
We'll take everything we can get. So.
The cat will get it. Right, until next week.
It's all for now.